Today is Saturday, the 27th of January 2024, and we are here for the 117th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Manu Rohini representing Nisarwane Forest Monastery, and she will be guiding us today. And I would like to welcome Venerable Manu with great respect on behalf of all of us in Zoom and on the Facebook live stream. I would like to also welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom, through the Zoom session, and also through the Facebook live stream. We will have a program commencing with in-session practice get you started into the content of the program, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness based on the topic being continued from last week. After that, we will present any available reports to Venerable Manu, and then we will also allow for any questions, for any verbal questions, and then we will end the question and answer session then and there, and we will wrap up the program for today. So with that, I would like to invite Venerable Manu to commence the in-session practice and get us started in the program. Over to Manu. Thank you.
Thank you, Namantha. Okay, I think today, to start our session, we'll start with a mindful walk. I think last week you had done mindful sitting. So we will do mindful walking today. So mindful walk is a very, very beneficial thing actually. So one of the basic thing of practicing mindfulness is a mindful walk. So, mindful walk, we need to have a less distract path. At least 15 to 20 steps, if you can walk here and there, from up and down, that would be nice. So, after choosing the path, so what you can do, you can stand on one end and you can close your eyes also. And you can take 1 minute or so to observe your standing posture. Once you have observed your standing posture, that means you can feel, while you are standing, you can feel the whole body weight on your feet. So likewise, something you can feel about your posture. So by doing that, you can collect your mind. So that was roaming just before everywhere. So you can collect the mind into your body. So after being doing that for 1 minute or so, then you can start from end to end walk on your chosen path. So while you are walking, what you need to observe is bodily feeling. So while you are walking, you can feel bodily movements. Sometimes you can feel the shifting your body weight from one left to the left foot to the right one. So from one side to the other side. So otherwise you can feel prominently, you can feel the walking surface. If it is a rough one, definitely you can feel it prominently. So likewise, whatever the feelings while you are walking, you need to observe. So focus on one thing. Don't take throughout your body, or don't try to focus on all the feelings one after another. Just try to focus on one prominent thing. So while doing that, you can collect your mind into one place. So that is good practice to collect your mindfulness into one place. So I'm not saying it will be easy thing. I'm saying that you can do whatever the distraction happen with the sounds, or maybe any other feelings or thoughts while you are walking. Maybe you can see things. Whatever the distraction happen, just keep it in mind. So distraction has happened, but you can bring your attention back to the prominent feeling. So in that way, we can do 15 minutes mindful walk. So now, from now on, we'll do. Thank you, Namantha.
Most merits menu.
Okay, everyone. It's good to have mindfulness practice for 15 minutes or so. To proceed over to you, Namante.
Much more to menu for the in-session practice. Next, we will move on to the talk based on the continued topic from last week. So I would like to invite Venerable Manu again to commence with the talk for today. Over to Manu again.
Thank you, Namante. Hello, everyone. So I think the topic is the continuation of last week topic, synesthesia, or otherwise blending senses. So it is a very exciting or interesting topic, actually. So, and here, the blending senses or synesthesia is something about the condition, actually. So, they think at it as a gift, that condition. So, they are born with those synetic people are born with that. That's why they think it is as a gift. So what they are experiencing is they hear sounds, and at the same time they visualize it. That visualization is happen naturally, simultaneously, the sound and the light. According to the words or according to the sound. So they see light also. So that is one kind of synesthesia. So there are many kind of, as I came to know after Google to about this condition. So that is a born with gift. That's what they say. So this in here, what we need to understand is two perceptions are simultaneously happen. But remember, there's nothing is, two things can't be happen in one time. But the thing is, those two things are happening. So once the attention goes to the sound and the next second or split second, attention goes to the light. So that's what happened, I think. So talking about this, these things are very close to mindfulness practitioner also. So, while we are doing mindfulness practice, that is really very important thing with this topic. Just think about mindful sitting. So, while you are doing mindful sitting, so you practice or you train your mind to observe the breath. So your job is to observe the breath while you are sitting and while you are practicing mindfulness by sitting. So this observation, the observation of breath or aware of breath is taking you, taking us actually for a long journey. So here one, as a beginner, what we do, we try to be aware, or we try to keep our attention on breath, especially bodily feelings. But as, while you are observing the bodily feeling, you can understand or you can feel the breath, then you can focus on breath. So when you are focusing on breath, so you can observe in breath and out breath. So the in-breath is there and the out-breath is there. So when this happen, when you focus, just for a minute, think about one split second or one circle of breath, in-breath and out-breath. If you can focus fully, mindfully, if your 100% attention is on your breath, in-breath and out-breath, only one cycle, so then you can understand that within that one cycle of breath, you don't have any aversion or greed. If you are mindful in that one cycle of breath, Just imagine if someone can extend that mindfulness into the second one, second cycle of breath. So you observe the first one, first in breath and the out breath. And then the second one, if you can maintain that mindfulness into the second one. So second in breath is also aware and the second out breath is also aware. So that second breath is also without any aversion and greed. So you are having two cycles of breaths without any aversion and greed. So just if you think you can continue five cycles of breaths, 10 cycles of breaths, so throughout that 5 or 10 cycles of breaths, you don't have any aversion or any greed or any lust. So you are free from greed and lust and aversion. So when you continue, if someone can continue this mindfulness practice for 5 minutes, so if someone can practice 5 minutes without any distraction, so usually we distract from sound, usually we distract from thoughts, usually we distract from any other feelings, the bodily feelings, ache and pains and things like that. So when these distractions happen, so your mindfulness is not there. So what I am saying, if you can maintain mindfulness without any distraction for 5 minutes or so, then throughout that 5 minutes, you are mindful and you don't have any aversion, any greed, any lust or anything. So you are fully focused on mindfulness. So when this happens, so for 5 minutes or so, you are diluted your ego, a conceit, I concept. The perception, there's no any I perception in there. So only you are observing the breath. So while you are observing breath, your 100% attention is there. That means you don't have any my breath feeling. So there's no any my feeling. So that 5 minutes is without ego, without conceit. So if someone can continue this mindfulness practice for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, so then you are very concentrate on your breath and the mindfulness is there. So when the mindfulness is established like that, if you can keep it continuously for 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, then your mindfulness is established. Then when you have that kind of mindfulness is established, mindfulness, then you can observe the qualities of in-breath and out-breath. So what has happened, just before you observe or just notice in-breath and out-breath, in-breath and out-breath. So instead of that, now you can observe, okay, in-breath is short or in-breath is long. The out-breath is short or long. Or the same way, in-breath is very subtle. Out-breath is also subtle. Oh, I can't feel it. Or sometimes you can see the gross in-breath or soft in-breath. So likewise, you can observe. Someone can observe this qualities of in-breath and out-breath. That means your mindfulness is very well established. So mindfulness is there. It's a sharpened mindfulness. So then normally you can observe in-breath and out-breath. When you are observing the qualities of in-breath and out-breath, that means the mindfulness is very sharp. So you can establish mindfulness at that time very quickly. So when you are doing this practice a long time or regularly, daily, if you practice this like 20 minutes, 30 minutes or something like that, then you can observe the breath, the whole breath. Whole breath means the beginning, middle and end. So when you observe the whole breath, that means the mindfulness is very well established. So you can see the beginning. Beginning means when breath we see when it comes to the middle level. The beginning is we can't see usually. But when you have very good mindfulness or when you have practiced well for a long time, then you can see the beginning of breath, beginning of in-breath. So when you see the beginning of in-breath, when you have mindfulness is focusing on the breath. So then you can see the middle part of the in-breath. So saying this, you are not going with the breath. You just observe the nostril wherever the breath touch. You are not going with the breath to the lungs or from lungs to the outside. You are not moving. Your mindfulness or the awareness is in nostrils. You are not go beyond or after. So you stay your mindfulness, your focus on nostrils. Whenever the breath pass that nostril, then you can observe it. Then you can observe the breath. So like that way, then you can observe the in-breath and out-breath. And then you can observe the beginning, middle and end of the breath. So when you observe beginning, that means wherever the breath touch your nostrils, whenever the starting point, whenever you feel that breath is touching, that is the beginning. So when you are feeling a very, very clearly, then it is the middle. And when it is finished, there's no any feeling of the in-breath, that means it is end. So what I want to tell you is not going with the breath. So just stay in one place and observe the breath. So when someone is observing like that, so in-breath, beginning, middle and end, out-breath, beginning, middle and end. So when the in-breath is observed clearly, beginning, middle and end, so when end of the in-breath is beginning of the out-breath. So you can see many changes in here. This perception of the breath is changing. First you had the only in-breath and out-breath. Now your perception of breath is changing because you can see the now beginning, middle and end. So the perception is changing. And when you see the long breath, the short breath, or shuttle breath, or the gross breath, so whatever it is, also the perception of the breath is changing. So these changes make your mindfulness more sharp. When you have that sharp mindfulness, established sharp mindfulness is there, then gradually the breath is disappear. That breath start to disappear. So gradually when you practicing like this more and more again and again, then after you start your mindfulness practice, after 20, 30 minutes, or sometimes when you are a good practitioner, after 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you cannot feel the breath. So breath is disappear. The perception of breath is not there anymore. So what is happening here? Instead of the perception of the breath, the lights will come. Something else, another perception will appear. So sometimes maybe you also noticed, sometimes you can see lights, colorful lights or white lights. So lights come and go. Sometimes lights are flashing. So like that, you can see. If you want to see the breath, at the same time you can see the breath. And if you want to see the light, you can see the light. So breath is also there and the light is also there. So in this moment you can feel the breath. So now I am talking about a good practitioner who practice a long time to establish mindfulness in sharp way. So I am talking about a good practitioner, a long-term practitioner. So the long-term practitioner can have this, that kind of a skill. It is a skill achieved from being mindful. So the skill is, what is the skill? So if you want to observe the breath, you can observe the breath. If you want to observe the light or the visual, yeah, it is usually light. So then you can observe the light. So you have the two options. Always you have that options. So it is like that blending the senses. It is like that the gifted born with synesthesia person. So now we are not synesthetic, but we being mindful, we establish or we developed or we are skillful enough to play with that. So that is a skill. So if we talk about a further development of mindfulness, if someone is doing more and more mindfulness further, then the light will not appear again. So there is no light and there's a breath. Sometimes breath is disappear and there's nothing. You can't see anything. Or maybe you can see some, you can feel you are alive. Nothing is appearing. So the aliveness is there and the breath is not there. But while you are in that phase of the meditation or that phase of the mindfulness practice, if any sounds happen, so any distraction from a sound happen, then that ripple, wherever you feel that I am living, I am a live person, there's nothing else you can feel right now. But if there is a sound happen, then the sound may give you a ripple of that calmness. So you were in a calm and quiet and very steady place. So you are observing just nothing, just aware about you are living person. Just the, there's nothing else to focus on. But when you are in that place, if something happened outside making sound, that if that sound distracted you, then the ripple goes through that wherever you were. So in here, you can feel the ripples, or you can see the ripple, and at the same time, you can feel or you can be aware about the livingness. I am living. So whatever happened in throughout this mindfulness practice, all the time, if you are mindful about whatever happened in right now, in this moment, you don't have any aversion, greed or any lust feeling. So that means your ego or your conceit is dissolving. The ego and the conceit is dissolving means you have no boundaries now. So boundaries are dissolving too. When the boundaries are dissolving, then when the boundaries are blurry, when it is not anymore there, then I or me is not there. So the boundaries are not there. The I is me is dissolving or blurring. That means we don't have any attachments. So when we don't have any attachments or usually we attach to things. Even when we see that light while we are doing practicing mindfulness, when we see the light, so we attach to that. Sometimes we attach to that. Same way, if you are having that calm and quiet steady mindfulness practice, when you gain that level, so you attach to it. Sometimes you hate it. So if you are mindful enough, if you are not attaching or if you are not hate about whatever the feeling is there, if whatever the experience you are experiencing, if you are not attached to it or if you are not hating it, if you are not making any aversion towards it, then there is no bounds. Then there is no boundaries. Then there is no I. Then there is no conceit. So when this happens, your mind is open. So open for anything. So we call open-minded. So open for anything. There is anything happen, you can absorb without any conceit or without any attachment or without any hatred feeling. So that level, you can actually, you are having a kind of a skill that you can blend senses. So blend senses mean there's no boundary. So there's no boundary means there is no I, there's no me. So the conceit is dissolved and the boundaries is dissolved. So that is what happened when you are doing mindfulness practice. So just imagine if you are mindful for 30 minutes or 1 hour, that means your boundaries, if you can achieve this level, if someone achieve this level after 20 minutes or 30 minutes, the whole 30 minutes is without boundaries. So if you are mindful for whatever the object, it can be breath, or after dissolving, or after not feeling breath, whatever happened, whatever the light, or whatever the calmness, or the emptiness, or whatever the calm, whatever the happening right now, if you can be mindful on that, that means you are having not having any bounds, not any having bonds or attachments, not having any boundaries. So it is like, you know, sometimes I get experience, sometimes people say, okay, I feel like I stuck in the middle of clouds. So I see like cloud and I stuck in the cloud. So that means the breath is there, and when the breath disappeared, the person sees cloud, and then the perceptions become the breath is in the cloud. So if the person says, okay, I feel like I am stuck in the cloud. So likewise, the person see the breath in the cloud. So breath is there and the cloud is there. So perception is changing. When that person see the cloud, if that person not to attach or not hate that cloud, seeing cloud or seeing something else, if that person get withdraw from that, or not attach, or not having any aversion, not having any hatred feeling, then that person can live mindfully there. Then that person will not feel that me stuck in there, or my breath is stuck in there. That person will not say that. But the thing is, when it happens, usually people get either hatred feeling or greed, or like or dislike. So whenever the dislike or like happen, that the open-minded, otherwise the blending sensation will not happen. Every time when we have attachment or when we have hatred feeling towards anything we see or anything we hear or anything you gain through your mindfulness practice, that means that openness is not there. When the openness is not there, then the blending not happen. The blending of senses not happen. When the blending of senses happen, that means there is no any hatred or aversion or lust in there. So if you are free from, at least for a minute or few seconds, if you can free from aversion and hatred feeling and lust, that means you are free from ego or free from conceit. So that feeling is very, very colorful actually. So saying that, I would like to sum up my talk about the topic. So here I like to summarize. Here, the synesthesia is something born with. It is a condition. They think it is as a gift because it is a very different to other people. But through the mindfulness practice, when we do mindfulness practice, it is a skill. So we can have this blending senses. So what is this blending senses mean for a mindfulness practitioner is there's no boundaries in there. So when there is no boundaries, that means we are free. So we are, our mind is free. So that means we can blend. So it is happening, the blending senses is happening there because of not ego, no boundaries. So that is not something born with, but we are born with mindfulness. Mindfulness is there when we born. So that means if we have mindfulness practice, we can gain this skill. It is a skill. Whenever we practice, we can gain that skill. And that skill gives, or that skill take you a long journey up to the, in this very life, freedom. So saying that, I will sum up, Namantha. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Manu, and much thanks to Manu. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Anupama to commence the question and answer session. And I will share the screen for the beginner's introduction as usual, and you can just gloss over it for the benefit of anyone new.
Thank you, Namantha. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
So, hello everybody. As you can see, we have the Mindful for Beginners in English guide in front of you on the screen. So for those of you who would like an introduction, there's videos on mindful walking and mindful sitting with instructions for you if you'd like to check out. The links are on the screen. So the recommendation is that you allocate a small time daily to practice these mindful walking and mindful sitting. So if you continue this for a few days until you complete at least 2 hours of each practice in total, you can then move on to writing a reflection report. As you may know, you can write your mindfulness training experiences during the walking and the sitting. You can describe what you felt, how it was like in a sitting posture or when you were walking. You can describe the prominent sensations such as texture of the ground, pressure points of the sole, shifting of the body weight, etc. So similarly, when you're sitting, you can describe the pressure points that you feel and the sensations of the incoming and outcoming breath. As Emmanuel beautifully explained in the talk, you can incorporate all of those experiences as you come across them. Then you can send us your report either via email, the email address is on the screen, or via a Google form, again, the link to it is on the screen. And yes, you can continue to practice like this. And if you need any advice on the reports, of course, once you've submitted it, we will discuss it at this session. And you can certainly ask any questions that you may have. So with that, we move on to the question and answer session. If anybody has any questions or comments, please do raise your Zoom hand and we will ask you to unmute. Don't think we have any specific questions or comments at the minute. We've not got any Zoom hands up now, Namantha. So I don't think we have any questions for today.
Yeah, that's fine. I think the reason is we haven't received any written reports for today's session. So if you have a quick question to ask, there's ample time for some quick questions. So if you want to ask anything from Venerable Menu, you can just raise your hand. We'll stay for another half a minute. And then if there are no questions, we will close up the session. Yes, I think There's no one. Okay, there's a question. Hiranti is
Hiranti.
there.
Quick question. Thank you, Venerable Manu, and thank you for everybody. I just want to ask, what is the purpose of progressing into synthesia, Manu? Is that another development of mindfulness?
No. The topic is synthesia, but we don't have condition now?
Synthesnesia, I think.
Synthesnesia, yeah. So it is a condition that, maybe you heard about Professor Sena Naika. I can't remember her first name. So she's the child pediatrician, actually, Professor Sena Naika. So she described that when we are practicing mindfulness, the autistic characters, we gain autistic characters. Likewise, here, what Bhante wanted to explain was, while we are practicing mindfulness, we get that blend of sense blending. We get that skill. It is a skill. It is not a, how can I say, synesthesia. That is a condition. They're born with that. What is happening, they are having a perception, two perceptions in one time. The one is the sound perception. The second, the other one is the color. The regards the one sound, they have seeing, or they see a color. So another sound, see another color. For example, they say one number. So numbers, when they hear numbers, they feel, they see colors. So in there, they describe senses are cross. Two senses are cross in the brain. So they are simultaneously, how do you call it? The person perceiving the perception simultaneously. So sound and the color, sound and the light, whatever it is. So while we are practicing mindfulness, what is happened? Our ego is decentralized, or ego is not anymore there, then our senses are blend. So when we want, we can blend it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a condition. We skillfully gain it. So that means we don't have the egocentric view in there, and that means we don't have any boundaries, me and others. So when we don't have boundaries, we are so free. So when we don't have boundaries, we are not attached to anything. We don't have any aversion or hatred feeling towards anything. So that means we are free, actually, that at this time. So synesthesia is something, a kind of condition. This is not a condition. This is a skill we gain through mindfulness.
Oh, I see. So you are not, there are some people who are born with it. But
yes,
there are,
yes,
we can also, with my improvement in mindfulness, can develop to that state.
Yeah, develop means when we go through our path, when we walk through the path to the Nibbana or so when we pass in this.
Okay.
It is a achievement we pass, but if we are stuck in there, it is not okay. We need to avoid that also. We should not attach to it. But while we are in the path, we are facing this situation. So facing this situation means we don't have any boundaries in that time. Maybe it is only for 5 minutes, or maybe it is only for 10 minutes. But that short period of time, we don't have any attachments, or we don't have any aversion, hatred feelings or anything, because we don't have any boundaries. The boundary is dissolved. That is why it is a skill. That is why we say it is a skill, or that is why we say it is an achievement. Did you understand, Hiranti?
Yeah, it's just like developing the mindfulness. This is another aspect of it, which everybody who progresses goes through. Is that right?
Yes, I'm completely right.
Okay, thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you, Hiranti, for that question, and Venerable Rohini for your very clear answer. Any other questions?
Does anyone want to share their experience?
Namanta has his hand up.
Thank you, Anupama. I think I posted two texts. One is a link to description or explanation of this phenomena in from Wikipedia, which is quite comprehensive. The other is just a cut and paste of again an explanation. I think the idea is even if you happen to experience this condition while you are in progression towards mindfulness objectives, you are supposed to still keep observing without being surprised or attached developing feelings of disliking towards this phenomenon. So just keep on observing and it will pass or not pass. It does not matter. What matters is that you are away. I think that's how it relates to our practice, that we just keep observing without, trying to meddle with the scenario. This is in case it happens. For me personally, I have basically not experienced this yet, but I don't know, when you go deeper, maybe you will experience. Just wanted to add that venerable menu. Thank you.
Thank you, Namanta.
Okay, I will lower the hand. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Namanta. Anybody else, if you have any questions, we'll give you another 30 seconds or half a minute. Kanti has her hand up. If you can kindly unmute and ask your question, please. Kanti, there it is.
Can you hear me?
If you can hear me. Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, well, Sanai. I just want to ask about this condition, explain. But when you come to that situation, you just ignore it. Is that right, Manuel? Just ignore and just continue your mindfulness practice. Is that right?
Throughout our journey towards this, what we are doing, we'll face time to time. We'll face this situation. I mean, when you hear about Kamatahan, when you hear about experience, so you sometimes people say, okay, I see different things. Oh, I see a light. Oh, I see nothingness, emptiness is there.
Yeah, yeah. I experienced like lights here. That's,
Light. When we get that example, when you experience light, there's no breath is there. Breath is not longer there, but instead light is appearing. But if you want to observe the breath, breath is also there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not disappeared, it is not vanished, but it is there, but you are not concentrating on that. But you are, instead, you see the light. According to our Lokuswami answers, he always says, you need to focus on the primary one, primary object. Whenever the light happens or whenever any distraction happens, so, for example, when someone is in emptiness, so when that person is in the meditation or mindfulness path, that person is experiencing the emptiness, that emptiness happened, when he was in emptiness time, a sound happened, when a sound happened from outside, that distraction will happen. When that distraction happened, the emptiness will shake with a ripple. So the ripple is there and the sound is also there. So either you can ignore the sound or the ripple. So likewise, you have two things or to accommodate, or you can choose anything, but whatever you choose, that means you have attachment to that thing or aversion to the other thing. So if you are mindful, what has happened, whatever happened, when the ripple comes with the sound, if you can just observe the ripple or the sound, then you are mindful. If you choose one, purposefully, if you choose one, when the sound happens, you say, we always say, okay, it distracted me. That is the hatred feeling is there. When that hatred feelings come, that ripple come.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Manuel. It's very useful. Thank you. Thank you. Teruan Saranai.
Thank you, Tanti, and thank you, Manuel, for that explanation. Anyone else for questions? We'll give another 30 seconds for any questions.
According to Namantha, what Namantha explained is, whatever happened, if you can acknowledge it and if you can mindful on that, so then you are gaining, actually. So the thing is, you can blurt whenever you are mindful, your boundaries are blurring. So there's no any boundaries, but anything can happen. Whenever it happen as a distraction, if you think it is as a distraction, then your hatred feelings towards that is happened. That normally it will happen. So then what has happened, then the ripple goes. Ripple goes through your mindfulness. So if you can observe it as a ripple without any aversion, without any hatred feeling, so then you are gain. Then you are in a path. So most of the time we can't. We have hatred feeling towards the sound, or we are having hatred feelings about that ripple. So either way we choose it. But we need to practice again and again not to choose anything. Whatever happened, if we can observe it without any favoration or anything having any hatred feelings. Things happen as it is. So things happen, we can't avoid them. So if we can, that is comes with the maturity, actually. If you can practice mindfulness daily basis, and if you can practice mindfulness for a 1 hour daily basis, so likewise, if you practice more and more, that gradually that maturity comes. With the maturity, you can face to the mindfulness practice without having any choices.
Thank you, Manuel. Namantha, you've got your hand raised.
Yes, thank you, Anupama. Venerable Manuel, I actually thought a bit further after I said I haven't experienced it, but I think I also experienced this continuously in two situations. For example, if I think of the days of the week, if I think of Sunday as one word and that day of the week, I feel a very white color, but if I think of Monday, it's more like a blue, dark blue color, then Tuesday will be like a brown color, Wednesday something like purple, Thursday will be like yellowish, Friday will be like a rose or light red, and Saturday, for some reason Saturday is again red color. And also if I feel very happy, I would feel like a very sharp beam of light in front of me, but if I hear any sad news or something, it will be like a ball of dark blue sort of color. So I think I do have this, although I didn't grasp it, that I also experienced this. So just to present again.
Yeah, the perceptions, yeah, will mix up any time. I mean, so maybe it is born gift, or maybe it's developed gradually or whatever. I mean, the perceptions can interrupt any time. The perceptions are, you know, how we perceive. So we even for if we consider the breath. The breath, how we perceive, is changing when we do practice mindfulness. In the beginning, maybe we perceive breath as something only air going through through the nostril and air coming out. So only we perceive like that. But gradually, if we observe more and more, if the mindfulness is established more and more, then you can see more perceptions there, different perceptions. The perception of breath is changing also. How you perceive is changing. It's yes. Changed with the, yeah. For example, Namantha, then now when you are mindful, before you are practicing mindfulness, you can't understand other people thoroughly like now. For my experience is now, I can see the faces, even seeing their faces, I can understand it. So when you are mindful more and more, you can feel, you can perceive many perceptions than before. So it is the achievement also. It is a skill. That's what I think the psychological side of the mindfulness people, they say is that interpersonal skills and intrapersonal skills. So awareness of yourself and awareness of others is developing, or it is gradually increasing that awareness.
Definitely, yes. I have felt similar experiences where some abilities develop, pop up and sharpen continuously. It may be different from person to person. So, I would have also felt that when somebody is going to think this way or do that way before they actually say something or do something in a certain situation, like a sixth sense kind of thing has happened in certain times, but I didn't focus on those things, but I just keep observing that these things happen as well. I think it will be different from person to person. Sometimes they will increase and decrease. Yes, but those things are there. I think that's why the brain, when the brain develops more and more neural connections will take place, give you certain abilities in a sharper state, and make, for example, if a person living a stressful life will be able to relax stronger or relax deeper when they use mindfulness, so which is very useful for mental health and physical health. If you can relax deeper, then that's a great benefit, and mindfulness definitely will provide that strength, continuously increasing that strength as well. Yes. Thank you, Manu.
Thank you, Namantha. Thank you, Manu. Any other questions before we wrap up the session for today?
That's good, Anupama, because I had to prepare for 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, here in from New Zealand, it's 3 a.m. in the morning, next session.
Okay, then you're right. Thank you very much. Much merits to you. I will hand over to Namantha now to continue.
Thank you, and many merits to you, Anupama. Well done. Thank you, and much merits to Venerable Manu. And so we have come to the end of the session for today. I would like to associate all the gained merits to Venerable Rohini Manu for representing Nisarana Forest Monastery today in our session, and also contributing a lot of guidance to us, to all of us, through the talk and through the in-session practice, and also through further explanation and detail on the topic of synesthesia. And we would like to wish strengthened and a great success to Venerable Manu in the journey of mindfulness and its objectives, and we wish good health and long life to Venerable Manu. Thank you. And I would also like to mention with great respect the chief abbot of the Nisarwana Forest Monastery, Most Honorable Bhante Udayiragama Dhammajiva Mahathero, the person who requested the initiation of a program of this nature, whereby we are going into the right topics to elaborate a lot of light into the practical aspects and the practical steps of practicing mindfulness. With that also, I would like to mention all the wonderful organizers who are behind this program, who put in the effort continuously to maintain the program in this manner. I would wish these merits will also go on to help and support and guide their own mindfulness practices. I would also like to thank all of you who joined in today's session. Thank you so much, and we are happy to have you learn and gain something from these programs, which will definitely boost your practice and become something of great benefit throughout your life. So I would like to end the session now. We would have the same program running next week at the same time. Much merits to all of you, and wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead. And we would meet next week, same time, with a new topic. Thank you. I will end the Zoom session.